Greetings. Greetings, everyone. Paul Temple here from the Diamond Light Network. And this is podcast number 16. The title is Nada Brahma. The sound is the teacher. And this is part two of this two-part series podcast. It includes a lot of guidance from my spirit guide, Al Thor. And this is the second of a series of downloads I received from Al Thor about sound and music and vibration. The first part was a presentation that I made for the Shift Network Sound Healing Retreat and also at the Global Sound Healing Conference. And this is posted as the Nada Brahma Sound is the Teacher Part 1. And you can find that in the same place wherever you found this. It's podcast number 15. And I have included the introduction to that one again here in case you have not heard that one yet. So, all right. So let's open the topic, Nada Brahma, the sound is the teacher, with a quote from the great Sufi master Hazrat Inayat Khan. One who knows the secrets of sound knows the mystery of the whole universe. So to truly understand this concept, we need to shift into the mystic, into the metaphysical, that which is beyond the constructs of the physical world. I ask you to suspend your sense of normality so we may move into the paranormal, that which is outside the boundaries of our normal reality. So what is the mystic? The mystic path is the path of the heart. This is not the anatomical heart, nor even the heart chakra, but the energy center of the heart we know as the place of love, spiritual connection, and soul wisdom. The seed of divine light in your heart center, we call it the pearl of light. It is the seat of the soul. The mystic path takes us through the heart to the soul. The mystic is coming to know the greater reality of the soul that is beyond the veil, the multidimensional realms that are difficult to access from the density and restrictions of our current human mental perception. The mystic realms are not accessible through mental awareness. These realms are accessible through the heart. Most indigenous cultures still hold this expanded reality, knowing that all things are connected, and it is through the heart that this connection happens. It is through the heart that you can connect with the mystical, multidimensional realms. As we learn or relearn to activate our heart centers and cognate through the heart, we can begin to connect with these mystic realms and universal wisdom. Music and sound are special vibrational media that facilitate access into the mystic. Music and sound open and activate the heart center. And since they are vibrational media, they can connect us directly with the most powerful forces in the universe. A succinct explanation of this phenomenon is the Sanskrit phrase Nada Brahma, which many of you may be familiar with. This is Paul, had the privilege of hearing an explanation of this phrase from a Hindu Swami, which deepened its meaning for me. I've heard Western musicians explain it with the translation, sound is God, but the Swami expanded its meaning for me. Nada translates from the Sanskrit as pulse or vibration, which expands to include sound and music, which are vibration. But the deeper meaning of nada, or the nod, as explained by the Swami, refers to the primordial pulse of creation, the ancient, original expansion of the creative force in the conscious universe. My teacher, the Venerable Dianyawahu, calls this the original song of creation. It correlates with the Christian mythology of in the beginning was the Word being sound infused with meaning. It could well correlate with what modern science calls the Big Bang as well. Now, Brahma, as many know in the Hindu pantheon, is the supreme creator and purveyor of knowledge and spiritual wisdom. Brahma is the embodiment of the supreme divine creative force. What takes Brahma 10 million years to create, Shiva can destroy in an instant. So Nada Brahma together is the simple but profound recognition that sound, vibration, and music are the same as the primordial pulse of creation, are the same as the divine creative force, and are the same as the source of universal knowledge and wisdom. Nada Brahma, the unified vibrational field, the master teacher. Now, Nada Yoga is the body of Vedic practices encompassing sound and vibration. Mantra, kirtan, devotional chanting, and the bija seed sounds. These are practices that catalyze evolutionary and awakening experiences that activate our higher consciousness. They provide access to mystic realms. Some say that mantras are ancient vibrational codes like passwords that open portals and activate archetypal energies in our deep soul-level memory. So, with a little help from the sound itself, we can tap into this field of primordial awareness and journey into the mystic, into the timeless source of all being. We can expand beyond the mental, emotional constructs of earthly reality into the sacred heart, into multidimensional realms. We can connect with our own higher soul wisdom and Akashic memory, which includes who we can become in this life. It is here we realize that the sound, the vibrational field itself is infused with infinite knowledge. It is the teacher. It is the source. It is the wisdom. It is the one. The sound is the teacher. Through accessing our higher awareness through this vibrational field, we can come to learn, to intuit, to receive the wisdom that is needed for our souls in this time. Through the sound, our consciousness can access expanded levels of wisdom and insight about our soul, our path, and the true nature of what is. Nada Brahma reveals the mystery of why people love music, because it connects us with the universe, with the universal field, with universal love and universal intelligence. It helps us feel whole and divine and energized and powerful. The complexity of how humans have stylized, monetized, and digitized music is another tale for another time. But as the Doobie Brothers say, give me a beat, boys, to free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away and drift away. So when I received this information from Althor, there were four gleanings offered from the master teachers, four gleanings on the mysteries of sound and music. So the fourth gleaning, which is on harmonic overtones, is covered in part one of this Nada Brahma podcast series, but I'm going to cover the other three here. Some knowledge of music theory will be helpful to absorb these points, but much can be gleaned without. So, the four gleanings offered are, number one, sympathetic resonance, the vibrational connection. Number two is titled Subjective Relativity, Notes, Chords, Scales, and Keys. The third one is The Music is the News, Catching the New Generation's Evolutionary Message. And the fourth, as I said before, is on harmonic overtones, the all in the one and the one in the all. So I'm going to go through the first three here. And again, that fourth one is covered in the Nada Brahma Part 1 podcast. So, sympathetic resonance, the vibrational connection. I suspect you understand the basic phenomenon of sympathetic resonance. When I pluck a string tuned to the note A, another string in the area tuned to A will start to vibrate through resonance and sympathetic connection. Similarly, when we encounter a being with a bright, luminous heart, the vibrational field of that heart begins to resonate the light in the hearts of the people around that person. Such was the heart of Jesus, the Buddha, of Mohammed and Yogananda, and other luminous teachers. Our hearts feel and vibrate with the resonant field of these awakened beings. I have been told that the pure vibrational field of the Tibetan bowls and the Vajrayana mantras that I work with also sympathetically resonate the pure light in our hearts. The Vajra, the diamond radiance that is our pure essential nature. The focus of Tibetan Vajrayana practice is to awaken that Vajra diamond light in our hearts. We experience sympathetic resonance around us all the time. As our thoughts, words, and actions are quite commonly in synchrony with the energy fields around us. Sympathetic resonance can occur on the psychic, the mental, emotional, and physical planes. The phenomenon of groupthink is sympathetic resonance on the mental plane. Feeling someone else's emotions, like a welling up of tears when someone starts to cry, is resonance on the emotional plane. It is said that when a group of women live together, that their biorhythms and menstrual cycles synchronize. Some of you may have seen the video where 100 swinging metronomes are started at different times, and within an hour, they have all synchronized together. This expanded understanding of sympathetic resonance is why rock concerts and music festivals are such powerful experiences. We have a large mass of people vibrating together in the same vibrational field. Whether it is angry rap or an inspirational choir, the vibrational field brings people into a sympathetic resonance, an entrainment that creates a supercharged collective entrainment. This is also why we deify rock stars. They are the central generators of this vibrational field. They are the Brahma in this field of nada. So sympathetic resonance is simply the recognition that as vibrational beings, our vibrations affect each other. So, the second gleaning is called subjective relativity, notes, scales, and keys. This one gets a little more complicated and a little more into music theory, but presuming that the conscious universe, one sound, universe, one sound, is a vibrational field. It is reasonable to assume that the harmonic and mathematical relationships explained in music theory provide one of the few models in Western knowledge that reflect the vibrational nature of universal consciousness. This is the mystery of Nada Brahma. The conscious universe is a vibrational system that is a macrocosm of our musical pedagogy. The underlying harmonic relationships of a simple linear scale, like a C major scale, are actually non-linear and non-intuitive. The harmonic relationships move in what we call the circle of fifths, which moves in fourths when going counterclockwise. These musical systems, including the overtone series, the dynamics of intervals, scales, and chords, offer a spiralic reflection on the nature and structure of our vibrational conscious universe. The phrase subjective relativity was revealed by Althor in working on this piece. It is a concept of harmonic relationship, quite easily understood in music, but a bit harder to perceive in the relationship dynamics of our collective consciousness. Musically, subjective relativity is experienced when we sound a single note on the piano, say the A below middle C. Upon hearing that note, all the other ensuing notes will sound relative to it. So if we play the E above it, it will sound as the strong, majestic interval of the fifth, strengthening the A as the tonal center and root. But if we play the E first and the A second, then the relationship changes entirely. Now the E is the root, and the A is defined by the harmonic interval of the fourth. Playing the A first, the ear establishes that we are in the key of A, and then all other notes and chords played after relate back to A as the root and home key. When we play the E first, the ear perceives we are in the key of E, and all other musical activity relates back to the home tone of E. The way we hear the note depends on the harmonic context it is in. That A that we played will sound very different in an F sharp minor chord, or in a D major chord, or in a B flat seventh chord, than it does when we played it before as the first key setting tone. The auditory perception of every note changes entirely depending on the key or the interval or the chord in which it is played. Subjective relativity is the realization that the individual quality of a note, the subjective perception, is dependent on or relative to the harmonic context in which it is played. The note A in a Beethoven symphony is very different from the A played on Keith Richards' guitar, but it is the same note A220. So how does this tonal construct of subjective relativity manifest as a mystic principle in our vibrational consciousness? Let's start with some definitions. And these are simplified definitions to help demonstrate a point. But here are some parallel constructs between music and vibrational thought patterns. Number one, a single tone, like that A, a single note, equals a thought form. The single tonal note correlates to what we call a thought form. Single thought forms tend to be communicated in single words or simple phrases like cat, beautiful day, ocean, bad dog, dance, or fantastic. These manifest vibrationally like single bubbles that can be seen by clairvoyance. They can be sent and received in telepathic communication. Thought forms, like single notes, are the basic building blocks of larger thought and harmonic constructs. So the next level of those harmonic constructs in music is a chord, and in the thought construct is called a meme. A group of thought forms is called a meme, and this roughly correlates into a musical chord, which is a collection of single tones crystallized into a larger harmonic sound. The word meme has taken on new meaning in our social media world, but in this context, a meme is a grouping of thought forms that magnetize into a cultural collective. We tend to perceive these memes in social and political frames like liberal progressives, radical Islamists, and conservative evangelicals. Memes also exist in groups affiliated with musical lifestyles like country music fans, hip-hop culture, goth punks, and psychedelic hippie rockers. Memes are also present in the belief systems of religious groups and tribal cultures. The next level up of these thought constructs. So in music, we have what we call the harmonic key. We were describing that before. It's the dominant home center of the tonal structure. And in thought patterns, that equals what we call a paradigm. A macro thought pattern, like a musical key, or even the full musical gamut, is called a paradigm. Now, this word, too, has taken on new application in our current world. But in this context, a paradigm is a dominant thought construct engaged as reality by millions and billions of people. We again tend to view these in terms of political systems like democratic capitalism, dictatorial socialism, and patriarchal monarchy. So, as an example of subjective relativity in this context, just like we sounded the single note A above, let's sound a single thought form, woman. Woman, in Afghani Taliban culture, resonates very differently from woman in progressive American culture. The single note thought form of woman is the same, like our note A, but the cultural setting, the chordal context, sets the thought form in a very different mode of subjective relativity. Woman in America is a strong, vibrant, powerful possibility. In the meme of Taliban Afghanistan, it is a dark, repressed, minor chord. Societal cultures are like different chord structures creating different perceptions of the human tone. Now, let's take the thought form abortion rights. And it takes on, again, very different harmonic implications between the memes of progressive feminists and conservative evangelicals. This is not about right or wrong. It is simply observing the vibrational dynamic of subjective relativity, which is the awareness that our personal perception of something, our subjective view, is dependent on or relative to the thought constructs we place around it. Just as the single note A sounds very different in an A major chord than it does in a B minor seventh chord. So memes and paradigms are very complex, multidimensional constructs that are perpetually morphing and really defy simple definition. So please be aware we have simplified these concepts here to make a point about subjective relativity and its parallel reflection in the world of music and vibration. However, the lesson of subjective relativity is to learn about the presence of memes and the relativity of our subjective perspectives. Memes become infused with illusions, glamours, and emotions. We are all deeply interwoven and immersed in multiple memes simultaneously. Many people self-identify with the quality of the memes they are part of. Think of progressive feminists or radical Islamists or conservative evangelicals. Memes appear as real. They appear as external reality. But we actually think them real. Literally, we generate the thoughts that think the memes into reality. This is the important lesson of subjective relativity. We can begin to use the power of our thoughts and perceptions to extract from the sticky web of memes and begin to observe the larger nature of mind and awareness. When we drop out of fixed musical styles like country or hip-hop with their calcified three chords and 4/4 rhythms and drop into the sound of Nada Brahma, the primordial vibrational field. Practices like meditation and yoga, mantra chanting, help us unweave our minds from this cacophony of memes so we can discover the sound of truth, of love, and stillness. We are the ocean. We are the universe. We are singing the song of creation. So, the third gleaning from Althor of this Nada Brahma, the sound is the teacher, is called The Music is the News, Catching the New Message. Now, when I, Paul, it is distinguished from Althor, who a lot of this information came from, but when I was a songwriter in my 20s, I recall the sense that composing a new song was like fishing. I would cast my line into the field of awareness, into the sea of the collective consciousness, to catch a lyric or a riff, an image or a feeling or a message. And then I would begin to reel it in. I was not composing the song as much as translating or transcribing or receiving what was coming in on my etheric fishing line. And I would then find that other composers, writers, songwriters We're catching songs with similar themes, lyrics, images, and language. One line I recall then was, "There's an old world dying and a new being born. An old world's dying and a new being born. An old world's dying and a new world's being born." This was not something that I thought up, but it was a message, a newscast from the other side, and other musicians were receiving the same news. So when musicians compose new music, they are opening as channels to the sound current, reaching into the mystery, into the sea of consciousness, into the nada brahma, and receiving new energies, hearing new sounds, intuiting new messages from source and the muses. Over time, each generation of musicians receives new sounds, new messages, new themes that reflect the evolving consciousness. We can hear this historically over several thousand years of European classical music, going from the deep devotional stirrings of a Gregorian chants to the ornate Baroque stylings of Bach, and then to the classical Age of Reason revealed through Mozart, to the vast humanist revelations of Beethoven, to the romantic dreams of Debussy, and then into the dark early 20th century discord of Stravinsky, Stockhausen, and John Cage. In the second half of the 20th century, things shifted and sped up, with popular music becoming very dominant, and the shift of consciousness that began to really take seed then. The core music shifted from the entertaining sounds of big band music to the cosmic messaging of Coltrane and Sun Ra. From Sinatra to Elvis, to the Beatles, then on to hip-hop, funk, punk, world fusion, and electronic dance music. So the real news of what is happening in the evolution of human consciousness is reported by the new generation of incoming music. The musical news of the 1960s revealed a massive dynamic shift with the visionary messages of Dylan, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, and so many others. Over the 8 years of the Beatles' existence, from 1964 to 1972, an amazing evolution took place from the teeny bopper sounds of "I Want to Hold Your Hand" to the transcendent messages of "Let It Be," "Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds," and "Imagine All the People Living Life in Peace." In the 1980s and 90s, punk, grunge, and hip-hop revealed the youth culture angrily throwing off old modes of social repression, telling the truth about stagnant societal structures, and breaking the old modes. Electronic dance music opened pathways into new deep trance states in flow with new transformational understandings of synaptic repatterning, somatic movement, and dance as expression of spirit that was much revealed and open through the music festival scene. Now, another important sound evolution that happened in the 1960s was the return to Om. Through the influence of Indian gurus, spiritual seekers and were able to extract themselves from the traditional constructs of music as we know it and drop into the unified sound, into the sound current, into the infinite awareness in a single tone. Om as the sound of the universe, the sound of Nada Brahma, the sound of returning to source. This is the thread we continue to follow here and now. This tract of returning to Om led to a new wave of musicians who created music not just for personal expression or social angst, but for spiritual awakening and expanding consciousness. These musicians were able to extract themselves from the glamorous musical styles of the day to drop into streams of pure consciousness, into states of deep awareness, and express these sonically. Some of this music was called New Age or meditation music or sound healing or space music, as noted by the popular radio show Hearts of Space. The introduction of Sanskrit mantras into Western music was another important piece of this wave, a reintroduction and remembrance of these ancient sound codes that open pathways to archetypal spiritual energies. This was part of the awakening, the returning, and the opening of consciousness. So while the music business today is still very dominated by the glamours and cultural musical styles, I am encouraged to be in contact with new, young generation of musicians who are highly sensitive to the energetics of the music they listen to and very intuitively knowledgeable of the relationship between music and consciousness. They are creating transformative music, healing music, and galactic sounds that express their inherent awareness of the very phenomenon we are discussing here, that the music is the galactic messenger and the master teacher that awakens our hearts and souls. So, in conclusion, we can see how the insight in these gleanings overlap and interface. The magnetism of sympathetic resonance is part of what holds the memes together. People feel the vibes of like-minded souls. Even within the cellularization of thought forms and memes, the paradigms continue to evolve through the infusion of a new generation of sounds and musicians. Thought forms, memes, and paradigms are all like harmonic subwaves in the larger Nada Brahma pulse of creation. But then we can also return to the Om, to the one vibration, the one love, that place in our hearts that knows the oneness of all being in the universe, the one sound, the Nada Brahma, the master teacher.